This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in on a Tuesday, September 3, which is important because we are now just 2 days away from kicking off the NFL season 2024, of course. Kansas City hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Just quickly, again, that's a key number, 3. We got to talk about those games today, dancing around the 3. And right now, Kansas City, again, if you want to lay it with Kansas City, you got 2.5. If you want to take it with Baltimore, you can find a 3. We're going to get to that, but we do have, as we've got a lot to do over the next 3 hours, Andy Staples is going to join from On 3. He is college football. He's coming up in just about 29 minutes. Mike Randall, FTN Fantasy, is going to join. He's the GOAT, so he's going to talk to us coming up in just a bit. A ton to do, including last night's beatdown, Boston College in Tallahassee at Florida State. A lot of fallout from that. I want to talk about, as a bettor, what you can do with the information in the ACC and also the college football playoff, which we'll get to in just a bit. But we do start with the breaking news out of the NFL, and we'll then apply this to the line move. Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. Let's bring him in here, boys, because Trent Williams' holdout is over. The 49ers are finalizing a new deal with Williams. So again, Trent Williams, an all-time great, best left tackle in the game, but he is older, and he's been holding in, holding out, and it looks like the prolonged contract dispute is coming to an end, which puts the tackle in position to play in next Monday's season opener against the Jets. Remember, San Francisco's sitting 11.5 as far as the season win total. I'm fading them this year. A lot of injury concerns. McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk is back. Hadn't practiced. Now Trent Williams, to protect the Purdy blind side, is back. So let's go straight to the market and see what happened. So the news comes down. So yesterday we're sitting here and the number was 4. With the announcement of Williams coming back, most shops have jumped up to 4.5. So this is quite fascinating, actually. So this number open, you know, back in May, 5.5, mid-July, 5.5, starts coming down a little bit with the contract disputes with Ayuk, wide receiver 2, and the left tackle not there. And we came all the way down to 3.5. And with Trent Williams now, that has jumped up to 4.5. There are a couple of shops showing 4. But again, Williams is back. Ayuk is back. Pitch count, how productive they'll be, especially when you're talking about Williams, who's a much older tackle. Now, I'm assuming Trent Williams is in shape, has been practicing and ready to go come Monday night. But this worked out for Williams. It worked out for Ayuk. They called the 49ers bluff, big guy, and they are both back for the season. Again, we should talk about this. It's very important when talking about the 49ers. This is a season with a window that there is a lot to answer as far as that roster after this season. It is an aging roster in some places and an injury-riddled roster. Had an opportunity with the lead in the Super Bowl to win it. You know about the hangover for those losing teams coming back. It's not great vibes with Ayuk and Williams holding out. However, as we sit here right now, heading into the Monday night opener, it looks like they're going to have a full squad.
Well, yeah, and able to pay all of these players because they do not have to pay for a franchise quarterback yet. I think that's really important. Able to get these deals done, but I think this also means Debo Samuel likely gone from the future of the 49ers after this year. If they're paying Ayuk, if they're paying Trent Williams, that is less money that's going to be able to go around once they lock down Brock Purdy, and you can guarantee they're going to give him a long-term deal when he is due. So I think that plays a role in this. And then Trent Williams, from just the vacuum of this one season, 2024, has to play. That offensive line is a whole lot of names I've never heard of. Jake Brendel, Dominic Puny, Colton McKivitz. It sounds like kids I went to high school with that I haven't heard from until I get a friend request on Facebook 20 years later. I don't know who those people are, but I can tell you this. They need Trent Williams on that left side. They need him to clear a path for Christian McCaffrey. They need him to protect Brock Purdy because, as we've seen, when Brock Purdy has to do a little bit extra, things go the other way for this franchise.
No, you nailed it. It's a huge win. Question marks across the offensive front. Good to have an all-time great back protecting a dude that people are mixed on. Some analytics peeps are high on Purdy, others not so much. You certainly need the protection. So Trent Williams is going to be back. So that's a big story out of the NFL. We'll continue with the NFL. Again, we talked about it yesterday, and I want new bettors to understand when you're hunting numbers, there are key numbers in the NFL, and three, as far as the most common margin of victory, happens around 14.5-15% of the time. You're looking for those threes. So if you're laying, you're trying to find a book that offers the 2.5, and if you're taking, you're trying to find that three. That is what's going to help you profit over the long term. Just kind of in succession, you go 3, 7, 6, 14, 10 key numbers. And certainly those two key numbers come into play on Thursday with the opener in Kansas City. And then on Friday, Friday Night Lights down in Brazil with Green Bay and Philadelphia. So we'll set the table with the NFL. Now let's transition to college football because I've got a lot to do coming off whatever the hell that was in Tallahassee. So again, if you go back to Dublin and Florida State, they were laying 10.5 against Georgia Tech. That was a 24-21 seasoning loss. And a lot of it could be explained away. Transfer portal, trying to get settled in with the new pieces. You had lost Jordan Travis. We're talking Florida State. You had lost Jared Verse, Fisk, Keon Coleman. So there were a lot of pieces exiting a team that won the ACC last year. But you had a little extra rest to come into this Boston College game yesterday at home. Perfect setup. Opener of 22 dropped all the way down to 16.5. Some shops closed 17. And hand to God, completely wrong. Because what could have been finished and what could have been fixed by that Florida State, and you're going to hear from Norvell coming up in just a bit, but what should have been finished by that Florida State coaching staff very much was not. Because we talked about fundamentals, we talked about tackling, and we talked about effort. It very much was not there against Bill O'Brien, who's a hell of a coach. You think about what he took over with Penn State, big guy. You think about the playoff appearances with Houston and horrific quarterback play. Now he's there at Boston College, and his team, if you watch the game, I think you could admit was the better coach team. Okay, we'll hear from Norvell. In particular, I wrote this down in my notes, and then I want to get to the ACC odds because I think it sets up fascinatingly. I wrote this down in my notes because I'm watching the game, and Florida State coaching. Florida State was caught with 12 men on the field, and Boston College scored a rushing touchdown on that play. Now, let's understand what goes into play here. Coaching was horrific. Obviously, substitutions not on point. You had time to practice, and then effort and just lack of anything to allow Boston College to score. Now, if we talk about Boston College, did they run the ball well? Well, let's go ahead and take a look. Yeah, they did. They ran for 263 yards in a gut check game against Florida State, who many had in the college football playoff. Did they throw the ball well? They didn't really need to. 106. They killed them on the first downs, killed them on third down efficiency, beat them in turnovers. Dustin, this was one penalty for Brian O'Brien's team, 7 for 50 for Norvell. This was a beatdown and a boat race by Boston College, which is hilarious.
Yeah, look, I think we learned some things big picture in this new world of college football with the transfer portal is you can't go and get a lung transplant, a heart transplant, a liver transplant, and get it all at once. And that's what Florida State was trying to do. They were trying to rebuild the entire program in the transfer portal. And we saw the lack of chemistry, the lack of continuity, the just hired guns coming in to try and win in one season. That is one issue off to the side. I think we look at some other teams around college football right now. The plan is to just plug and play those transfers. Look at Cam Ward in Miami. He has a homegrown offensive line. He has two homegrown receivers, right? The defense, especially that D-line, is mostly homegrown. They went and added portal pieces in the secondary. That is how you build a roster in today's college football. You don't just go and get the best running backs on the market and things pick up where you left off, which brings me to where things left off a year ago. There has been a failure of leadership, starting with Mike Norvell in Florida State, since they were held out of the playoffs. He is not being a leader. He is being a loser. He continues to complain deep into the offseason, right before this season started, still talking about not being in the playoff a year ago. That is your leader. When your leader is making excuses, when your leader is still looking back on last year and not focused on what's in front of him, that's what's going to happen to your team. You're going to come out and start the season 0-2. I will compare him to one of your favorite people, Winston Churchill. Back in 1915, the Gallipoli campaign. The reason he lost his prime ministership. Did he sit there and complain? Did he sit there and blame others? Did he look around and point fingers? No, he did not. You know what Winston Churchill did? He sat back, and when the opportunity came to capitalize later in the future during WW2, he stood up for his country when it mattered
the
most.
Can we hear from Norvell? I know you want to get the shtick in, but can we hear from him before the break?
This is Mike Norvell on the line.
It comes down to me, and it comes down to me being able to prepare this team to go out there and play to the capabilities that I believe that they have. And you got a football team that's hurting, and you got a football team that nobody envisions being, you know, ever being where we are, and having disappointment, having failure.
What didn't click with the pass game, especially early?
There's not much that did click.
Yeah, Michael Norvell. And by the way, I could have let you go with the Churchill stuff all day, but you understand. Yeah. Pull yourself together.
Hard out.
DJU was who we thought he was. He was a sub 60% passer his whole entire career. Not sure what you were expecting, but it's not just that. It's the pedestrian offense, Dustin. It's the lack of creativity. They had nothing. And when we return, just quickly, Florida State's 30-1 in the ACC. This is a two-team race. One team is being very disrespected in the ACC. The other, your father may have went there, looks to be a lock. We'll check in on the pricing in the ACC. I know a lot of people don't want to wrap up their bankroll. You might want to with this pricing as far as that conference. Let's get to it. We're coming back. Sharp Money. Not the Winston Churchill.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, pay attention because this is a game changer. I want to tell you about Sport Trade. Are you the type of player? Now, this is important. Looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? That's big. Introducing Sport Trade, the app that's going to change sports betting. $4 lines instead of the typical $110, instant in-game betting, and concierge player service. Sportrade is perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. Sportrade is live in Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, and coming to you in Arizona and Virginia this fall. Download Sportrade and use the code VSIN. Again, Sportrad. Now, I believe it says on the screen 2 T's. We'll get that straightened. VSIN is the promo code. You earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms do apply if you're 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Okay, we welcome you back. That's pretty good. High limits over at Sport Trade. Now, fresh new paint job across VSIN programming. It's been an awesome week to start with VSIN 3.0. So we welcome all the new additions to the network, and we are going to welcome up coming up on the program Andy Staples in just a little bit. Andy Staples, of course, Sports Illustrated, Sirius XM, The Athletic, now On Three. He is college football, and we've got a lot to dissect, big guy, when Andy joins us for a couple of segments. Mike Randall, FTNFantasy.com, is going to join us as well. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Dustin Sweetelson at the D. He knows how to hit me in the feels because he brought up Winston Churchill when talking about Mike Norvell. And immediately what I started to do, this morning, I wake up and I go straight to the ACC odds. Okay, so let's check those out quickly. Because if you think about what's transpired in the ACC. So NC State, a lot's expected. I think you would agree with Grayson McCall. Ranked NC State trailed Western Carolina in the fourth quarter and needed 21 unanswered to win. And NC State, who do they have, big guy? Rocky Top. They got 15 Tennessee this week. A lot is going to be found out about NC State. Clemson, I think you would agree, they continue to look lost offensively and blown out against Georgia. Louisville beat down Austin Peay 62-0. Next, Georgia Tech. Now, there's a little something percolating in Atlanta with Georgia Tech. They're at Syracuse, so that matters. Syracuse has a big-time quarterback, a new coach people are excited about, and they beat Georgia State by 23, that being Georgia Tech, after the win over Florida State. But what does that mean in the ACC at this point? BC, all right. SMU, they struggled in Reno. SMU, a lot of expectations. They went to Reno, who's a bottom five program, and they struggled. North Carolina, okay, held on, missed field goal to beat Minnesota. Are you excited? Virginia Tech, LOL. They were a 14-point favorite at Vandy and got beat. That is a horrific loss for Pry. Cal stinks, Virginia stinks, Wake Forest stinks, and Stanford stinks. So we're talking ACC, big guy. That comes down to your pops and Felica's team, and that is Miami. The U. One of the better performances of the weekend. Now, you can argue Notre Dame, College Station, maybe a little bit better because who knows? Florida might stink, but Miami was dominant. Miami with Cam Ward, he's making $3 million. You nailed it with the offensive and defensive front through recruiting. Miami was pretty much flawless outside of the penalties at the Swamp. So plus 180 right now on Miami to win the ACC. Here's one thing I will say about Miami. If you take a look at the schedule, it sets up well for them. But I will turn to one team, and one team in particular, and that is Clemson. Clemson's 3-1. It feels a little short, but their schedule is cake. Their schedule sets up perfectly. And there's a couple of things you have to do with the Clemson performance. You have to measure it based on, yeah, that defense is going to be awesome. Klubnik in the offense lacks any type of flair, but that was Georgia. And Georgia, who's won a couple of national championships with Kirby, might just be on an extended level over everybody else in college football right now. So that's the delicate balance, Dustin. Plus 180 on Miami, if you start to suss it out to win the ACC, is not a terrible price. Clemson sitting at 3-1. Feel like it should be closer to 4-1 if I'm going to bet it. But then you start to get to the Louisvilles, who are 7.5-1, SMU 10-1, NC State 10-1.
Okay, part of your handicap is Miami, right? If Clemson's going to win, it's because Miami falters. And I think that's a very realistic thing to talk about. As loaded as they are, as excited as a Miami fan as I am for this season, you still have to understand that Mario Cristobal is in charge of that team, right? Mario Cristobal has lost games on the margins everywhere he's been. Oregon, now Miami, we saw it a year ago. Virginia Tech coming up after they get through this easy stretch for the Hurricanes on the schedule. That has always been a house of horrors for them. They've always had issues with the Hokies, right? They're going to make their first ever trip out to Cal. Who knows how that's going to go? Going to Louisville is going to be difficult because Brohm is a much better X's and O's tactician than Mario Cristobal. The reason I'm bringing all of this up is because if you're going to fade Miami, it's because of the head coach, because everything else is in place. Anything other than winning the ACC at this point, with the way things have started for Florida State, with Clemson losing the way they did, would be a colossal failure. So I like where your head's at looking at Clemson, because that is a loss against an SEC opponent. It doesn't factor into this conference and what they're going to do here, and they are still locked and loaded and talented, especially on defense, to still win this league.
Okay, so you're looking at, you know what, it's a good point, because if you think about Clemson, now App State is tricky. All right. They're coming off a debilitating loss. You would expect them as 17-point favorites this weekend in Clemson to get by App State. It's really just a 2-game stretch for Clemson if you do like the 3-1 in the ACC, because they turn around, they host NC State.
Yep.
And then it starts to really soften up. Yep. They're staying home for 3 straight weeks. They get Stanford. They head to Florida State. Look, you could talk about Florida State turning this season around. That is definitely not happening. That is a horrific football team. That is a team that is overrated as far as the transfers up front defensively and overrated on effort. And you saw the coach that we just played the clip from Norvell, Dustin. That's a dispirited dude. I don't expect his team to act any differently. So then you get Wake Forest. Easy dub. Virginia's an easy dub. Louisville's tricky, but they get them at home. Everything kind of sets up well in the ACC for Clemson moving forward, if you see what I'm saying. Yeah. Virginia Tech just got embarrassed by Vandy. lost as a 14-point favorite, and then you go to Pitt. It kind of sets up well for Clemson.
Well, I think it sets up both for both teams, kind of, because they don't play each other. That's what makes this intriguing, is that they don't actually meet each other, and the ACC just feels like muddy waters. Like, if this thing gets choppy and it gets up in the air, who do you want to back? You're going to want a Clemson 3-1 ticket, because them riding the ship feels like the most realistic situation here. I don't like Louisville's game in the transfer portal. I am not buying SMU. I watched that game against Reno. They were awful. I didn't understand what was happening. I cannot back them even at 10-1. NC State does kind of intrigue me, but you brought it up. They were losing to Western Carolina. I think they have a great quarterback wide receiver combo with McCall and Concepcion. I think
they were down in the fourth.
But they were losing to a bad team. So I don't know what to do with that. So basically the talent, right? We got a back talent. The number is fantastic. As someone who has Miami 4-1, I should get a little down on Clemson 3-1 as a bit of a hedge. I know it's a little bit early in the year to be hedging, but that's what you have to do here to capitalize on your tickets.
Here's what we do know, big guy. If not now, when for this Miami program?
Oh.
They've been a disaster in the ACC. Okay. Chris Bell's never going to have a setup like this. Never.
I'm glad you brought this up. If not now, when is a great question. Do you know why? The booster who's been funding all of this, believe it was about 2 weeks ago, came out and said the company he owns no longer has money. So he's been basically using his company to pay for all these NIL deals to get the basketball program, the football program up to the level that he'd like it to be. I think people have to remember that University of Miami is a private institution. They don't get state funding to recruit, so they need their donors to back them. If that guy can't write the checks he's writing this year for next season, the window is 2024.
I do have an answer for that guy. Tax write-off.
Now, collect your losses.
I don't know what that means, but I think you can finagle and hoodwink the system by just writing it off in taxes. That's what smart people in business tell me. Miami's got to win this league. They just do. It's a two-team race. I mean, think about this: the league. NC State couldn't have looked worse in their opener. Okay, maybe give them a pass. They're looking ahead. Georgia Tech, maybe a little juice, but then it starts to get to, like, BC was impressive yesterday. How impressed were you with BC?
They both
and
can't
just
throw.
How much of it was about Florida State? They can't throw the football. Yeah.
BC and Cassianos
is he's a tremendous runner. You mentioned it yesterday. They did shore up the back end of that defense. It was impressive, but it is DJU. And then you start to get to North Carolina's nothing. Trust me. Cal stinks. Virginia stinks. Wake Forest stinks. Stanford stinks. Like, the bottom end of this conference in this league is horrific.
No. Look, Miami doesn't win the league now. You can fire Mario Cristobal. Just become an FCS program. Run the triple
option.
There
you go. That's what I was hoping you were going to say.
It'll never happen. You'll never be in a better spot. Run the triple option and just be happy to be there the rest of time.
There is a national brand that's already in the college football playoff. We'll tell you what team next with Andy Staples. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSIN, the sports betting network. You want to talk college football, you go to the source. Andy Staples is college football on 3.com, college football host and writer. Andy Staples on 3 is the show. You can get it wherever you're on YouTube or you get your podcast at Andy_Staples. And here's how I know that Mr. Staples is college football, because after BC put a 28-13 beatdown on Florida State, I jumped on and watched the live stream of Andy immediately reacting to the game last night. First off, that was awesome. I love the reaction. We don't have to talk about feces right now. And I believe you were referenced on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. I don't know if you know that. Tell me about the little reaction. Are you doing these streams after big games?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've been doing that since last year, where if there's a big result, hey, we go right onto YouTube and come commiserate, make fun of us. If we got the pick wrong, heckle us. And it's fantastic. So my co-host Ari Wasserman just joined on 3. He and I worked together at The Athletic, and I loved working with him. As soon as his contract was up, we made sure we got him over there too. So we're a tag team again, and It's been a lot of fun because we went to the Florida Miami game together. I popped on right after that. We did the post game show that night, and then after LSU USC, there was a lot to talk about too. My wife's like, "Are you ever going to go to bed at a normal time again?" I was like, "Yes, I promise. There are no college football games tonight. We can watch the Lord of the Rings show on Amazon. It's going to be cool."
Oh, what a husband. So just full disclosure, Andy is a Florida grad, so I don't know if he was upset last night, but we should talk about the 28-13 BC win. I don't really know how to explain the Florida State performance. Norvell seemed flummoxed after the game. How do you explain it?
It's very weird. Their talent level is not what it was last year, but they have some guys who are individually talented. Like you ask an NFL scout about their defensive tackles, they'll tell you, "Oh, those guys are good. Like those guys are gonna make rosters." But you watch them get pushed around by Georgia Tech and by Boston College, and there's some sort of disconnect there. Now, I think their depth on their D-line is not as good as it could be, and especially early in the season, you're gonna see guys who maybe aren't in as good a shape as they should be. They're not going to be able to hold up over the course of a full game without backups that can come in and give them some good snaps. And last year, that's what they had. They had backups on the D-line that could give them good snaps so that when Braden Fisk and Jared Verse needed to be, they were as fresh as possible. I don't think they have as much confidence in those guys. I think the offensive line has not been as good as they thought it would be, and they really haven't been able to establish the run. And then DJ Uiagalelei is not – like, I know everybody thinks he was terrible at Clemson, and that's why he went to Oregon State, and he wasn't that good at Oregon State. He was better at both of those places than he's been at Florida State. Like, yes, this is a different person than what we saw at Clemson. Like, he had games at Clemson where he was very effective. He looked lost at times these last two games. And so I do wonder, you heard the crowd last night chanting, "We want Brock. We want Brock." And Brock Glenn is their backup. They got an open date right now. They play Memphis a week from Saturday. They are going to lose to Memphis if they play the way they played against Georgia Tech and Boston College. Like, Memphis might be better than both those teams. So they've got to be very careful.
Brock Glenn, Andy, started the bowl game against Georgia. The reason I bring that up, Brock Glenn taking over during a time where Mike Norvell couldn't stop complaining about being held to the playoff. What role do you think him still living in last year and talking about that the entire offseason played a role in his team coming out a little bit slow here?
I don't think he talked about it the entire offseason. I think he answered it when he got asked about it. But I mean, I talked to him multiple times in the offseason, and it came up maybe for 30 seconds. Like, he's been trying to turn the page. And this roster should be turning the page because a lot of those guys, I mean, there were a few guys that played key roles last year, but a lot of those guys weren't even there. So that shouldn't be an issue. And I don't think Mike Norvell has spent a whole lot of time making that an issue. I think if somebody's asking him about it, he'll talk about it. But his job is to make this team win now. And what I can't figure out is he going to try to make a change at quarterback? Is he going to open that competition up? Because I do think having a little more robust passing game would make the run game easier, would make everything easier. And I think all this does is just further reinforce how bad it got when Jordan Travis wasn't there and how much Jordan Travis was covering up. Like, Jordan Travis was really good. And I think you appreciate him even more now after these first couple games.
I want to go big picture. Andy Staples on three joining us. I want to go big picture with the ACC, which we'll get to. Just quickly on Boston College, obviously Ward and Cassianos and 263 on the ground. What did you take away from BC's performance moving forward?
I thought Bill O'Brien did a really good job, especially when you consider that when he got the BC job, the winter portal window is basically done. Like, he didn't really have a chance to bolster this roster through the portal at all. And I think he took what he inherited and he made the best version of that. And I remember when he took over Penn State, like, Matt McGloin was their quarterback, former walk-on. He got Matt McGloin in the NFL. Like, the guy knows what he's doing. And Thomas Castellanos, different skill set. He's very fast, very mobile. His arm's okay, but he's not going to throw for 400 yards most of the time. What you saw last night was a very efficient throwing performance. They didn't throw that much. They were having success running the ball. They just did that. That allowed them to chew up clock, force FSU's defense to stay on the field, keep Boston College's defense off the field. It was a very good game plan, and I'm excited to see what Bill O'Brien and his staff do with these guys, because this is a group that they basically just inherited, but what about when they can get their own guys in?
The U is plus 180 in the ACC. Clemson is 3-1, Andy, and then there's a chasm. You get to Louisville 7.5-1, SMU 10-1, NC State 10-1. Let's talk about Clemson for a second, because it gets a little tricky, right? Got beat down by Georgia. Here comes App State. Right. Okay. Yep. And then they get NC State. So it's an interesting schedule layout for Clemson here.
Yeah, I might hold off on that future till I see the NC State game.
You're not? Okay. Well, I'll bet my money for you, and then I'll just give you a little piece of it.
Perfect. Perfect. Here's the thing. Clemson doesn't have to play Georgia again. They don't have to see anybody like Georgia. Now, Miami's pretty good. Miami's very talented. But I don't know. Did we see Clemson's best game, Clemson's worst game? I have very few doubts about their defense being good. I think their defense just got worn out against a really good team because their offense couldn't do anything. But if they are just dominant on defense in the ACC, then they're going to be in every game. If their offense isn't any better than what we saw, if that wasn't just because Georgia's defense was awesome, they're still going to be in trouble in some of those games. They're still going to struggle when they play an NC State, or if they would have to play a Miami in the ACC championship game. It's still going to be hard.
Andy, if you're going to look outside of those top two, Miami and Clemson, there's some interesting coaches in the mix, a lot of turnover, especially with quarterbacks, but would you say Louisville and Brohm, NC State and Doran, SMU, despite how bad they look to start the season, do they have a shot here with Rhett Lashley in charge? Like, is there a team that you think could be a surprise contender in the ACC?
I like Rhett as a coach. I think that they probably got to get a deeper roster before they can go on a run for the ACC title. I think they're going to need a couple of years. You saw Gus Malzahn at UCF last year, where that step up in competition does have an effect week to week. Louisville's the one I would look at. You know, Jeff Brohm comes in, takes him to the ACC championship game. The schedule is much harder this year than last year's schedule, but this team could be better. You know, they went out in the portal and they got a bunch of guys to help them. They revamped their offensive line. They brought in Thor Griffith from Harvard to play D tackle. Dude benches 225 like 47 times. Tyler Shook at quarterback is fascinating to me because he's one. He's a five-star guy, went to Oregon, never won the job, always got beat out by some very good people. Went to Texas Tech, was good, but never fully healthy. If he could ever be healthy, I kind of wonder, will we have another Michael Penix Jr. story on our hands? Because you've got the quarterback whisperer in Brohm, and clearly this was the guy he wanted. So is it possible that this is a special year for Tyler Shook, because he finally stays healthy and he's got a QB coach who can really make, you know, make the best offense for him? That's the one I'd watch. That's the one I would worry about being able to beat Miami.
Louisville is 7-1 to win the ACC. They're 4-1, yes, to make the college football playoff. When we return with Andy Staples, hey, you haven't been texting or tweeting Billy Napier from your basement, have you?
So, funny thing about the state of Florida, we are very close to sea level here. We don't have basements. They would flood.
Billy is battling basements and water bottles in Gainesville. When we return, Andy Staples will discuss it. Also, USC, good vibes here in LA. On three, Andy Staples next here, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher, Sharp Money, VSIN, the sports betting network. Andy Staples, a longtime friend, Mr. College Football, joins on3.com. Remember, check out the On3 YouTube page, because if you're into college football, a lot of instant reaction. You can find the Andy Staples on 3 show there or download it right now on the podcast. I want to talk about the SEC and, of course, the Big Ten. And when I think about the Big Ten, I think of USC football. So why don't we do that? I was actually very impressed. You know, the bowl game from Miller Moss. You saw the reaction from Brian Kelly. It's funny, Andy, how a narrative can completely flip, because going into the game, the boosters here in Los Angeles were absolutely losing their minds. And now they're talking about, you know what, this could be a special season. They were impressive. Let's start with USC football there on Sunday night.
They were impressive. I thought the defense was better. I mean, when you start off with a goal line stand and you're a team that has played terrible defense for the past 2 years, like that, that's a big step. And then you saw USC players making open field tackles, which you didn't see the past couple of years. And I thought they did a great job. I thought Miller Moss was awesome. I think Miller Moss does what Lincoln Riley wants done in the offense. He gets the ball out exactly when it's supposed to go out to the guy it's supposed to go to. And they've got these, you know, young receivers. They're all kind of in their second year. Zachariah Branch, probably the headliner, but Deuce Robinson and, you know, some of these other guys are potential stars. So I think they should be feeling pretty good about it. Now, how good were both these teams? We don't know yet. We kind of need to see them play somebody else. We're going to see USC play at Michigan in a few weeks. So we'll see USC's offense against an elite defense at that point. If Miller Moss is carving up Michigan, then absolutely start thinking it's a potential special season. If they look average offensively against Michigan, then okay, the Big Ten's going to be about as tough as we thought for them. But I do think if they're playing competent defense, and they certainly look like they were the other night, the ceiling on USC gets a lot higher.
Let's stay in the Big Ten, Andy, because I thought another impressive win was Penn State. And Drew Aller looked really comfortable on the road in Morgantown. He was way more decisive in year two, and now he's got a new system that he's learning. How real is Penn State, and how much of a threat are they to be playoff bound this year?
James Franklin.
If that offense... Yeah, if that offense is as fun as it looked against West Virginia, I think that they are real. They are a playoff contender, because Drew Aller has all the physical tools. Like, the NFL people are fascinated by Drew Aller because he looks like what they want in a quarterback. But if you watched him play last year, he was very tentative. Like, if he wasn't throwing it, if it wasn't open, which was good in that he didn't throw a lot of interceptions, but not so good in that you got to take some risks to beat the best teams on your schedule. That didn't look like it was a problem against West Virginia. And Andy Kotelnicki is the new offensive coordinator. He came over from Kansas, and it looks like these two work well together. We're going to find out as the season goes on if this was a mirage. But I thought, and especially the way this game went, where they had this weird lightning delay that lasted like 2 or 3 hours, they almost had to play two games, and Penn State won them both the same way. And the offense looked just as good in both versions of it. And I thought that was pretty telling, too. So I'm very excited to see them going forward.
Ohio State's plus 145, Oregon plus 240, Penn State, you guys were just discussing, plus 370, Big Ten odds, 9-1 Michigan, 18-1 USC, 40-1 Iowa. So I brought up Michigan because Sarkisian is so bitter. He constantly has to answer questions about Lane 7.5. At the Big House coming up on Saturday, and he's just like, I don't want to talk about the point spread. However, Texas is now up to 7.5 at most shops at Michigan coming up this Saturday, Andy.
It feels like a big number when you're talking about the defending national champs who have 3 first round guys on their defense. Like, it feels like a huge number. But that said, I'm not entirely sure how Michigan scores that much. So even if Texas isn't completely clicking on offense, even if they get held down a little bit, I could see Texas winning this game 24-14 and covering. Because I just, like, Davis Warren, now maybe we'll see a huge jump in Davis Warren from start one to start two, but I don't know that he has elite receivers. I do know that Quinn Ewers has many elite receivers to throw to. Like, he is picking his poison. And that, even when you're playing against a defense that has Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant coming at you through the middle, Will Johnson, maybe the best corner in football, locking down your best receiver, you've still got, like, let's say Ryan Wingo is the one they pick Will Johnson to be on, that's fine. You've still got Isaiah Bond. You've still got all these other guys that you can throw to. It's not a problem. And for Michigan, it's like, okay, who is that star? Like Colston Loveland, their tight end, is a great receiver, but is he a number one receiver? Or is he the complement you want to a field stretcher like Roman Wilson was last year?
Another game, Andy, fascinating. Iowa State taking on the now offensive juggernaut, Iowa Hawkeyes, fresh off a 40-burger to open the season. Kirk Ferentz changing his ways. Is it real? Is it legit?
Kirk Ferentz wasn't at the game, Dustin.
No, it's okay. Hold on, Andy. You think when head coaches are suspended, they're not in charge of what happens on the field?
Oh, don't get him mad. This is Dustin legitimately mad, people. He's now mad at Andy. I'm staying out.
I know they are there all week in practice and they put the game plan, but they're not there on game day. So, okay. so they really aren't.
They're not running what he wants. My point, Andy.
But yes, against
Iowa
Illinois
offense.
State of the FCS, which is not North Dakota State and not South Dakota State. They scored 40 points.
And the total's 35 and a half this week against Iowa State.
Yeah. I'd still take the under on that.
Okay.
Iowa's defense is still elite. Iowa's special teams is still elite. They had a freshman receiver whose last name is Vander Zee, whose family runs an ice cream business in Northern Iowa. Yum. He caught two touchdown passes. They combined for three touchdown passes by receivers, which ties their total from last year. So that's exciting.
Are you surprised?
But Iowa State's defense is going to be a little better than Illinois State's defense. So take the under. I still think Iowa covers.
Oh, I was going to say, are you surprised 2.5-point favorites when we've got Rocco Beck coming to town?
No, I'm not surprised Iowa's a favorite. I was going to beat most of the teams on a schedule. I was going to be a fringe playoff contender. If the offense is competent, I think last week was an example of maybe it will be, they're going to be good. And because the defense is always going to be elite, the special teams are always going to be elite. So you add a competent offense into that mix, then you're talking with this schedule about probably a 9 or 10 win team.
At least admit you literally got mad at Andy there. Just at least admit, we're all
he
friends.
Did. Like the reaction
visceral.
I was mad because Andy Andy's a yeah butt guy. I was going big picture. He was going semantics.
Do you think I, who have covered the sport for 25 years, don't know how it works? When a coach is suspended,
you, the words that came out of your mouth made it sound like you didn't know how it
works. Because it's funny as hell that in the game that Kirk Ferentz wasn't allowed to be at, they scored 40 points.
It's a fair point. By the way,
hilarious.
I was 6-1 to make the playoff, and I don't hate where you're coming from in that regard. I'll give you that.
Exactly. That was awesome. Exactly. They have one of the easiest draws in the Big Ten. Their path to the Big Ten title game is cleaner than almost anybody else's. They play Ohio State, but that's really about it. They can win all their other games.
Andy is a yeah butt guy, but that's what makes him special. And you just need to learn to deal with it.
I don't. Yeah,
I saw
right,
you get
more. It's funny.
He got worked up. That's the big guy. You got to just work around his moods. Vibes are good in Gainesville. Napier make it through the year.
Yes. Wonderful. I wasn't around. I think I was in middle school when Jack Crow got fired after week one at Arkansas. So I've never seen this before. But people were acting like Billy Napier had already been fired. Like I get the same phone calls and texts I usually get when a major college coach is fired the day and the next day after this Florida-Miami game. It was wild.
Do you like Napier?
He's a great guy. He's very nice. Everybody who works with him likes him. But unfortunately, he's also under 500 at Florida. And you're just not allowed to be under 500 in Florida.
Now, Andy, if he gets fired, he won't really be coaching the team. Just want to point that out.
Oh, are you sure about that?
His assistants will, though.
Is Ron Zook employed?
I mean, just because he's not there doesn't mean he's not coaching, Dustin.
See, now I got to deal with the fallout.
I'm just imagining the spirit of Kirk Ferentz hovering over...
And he's saying stadium. Punt. He's saying punt over and over again.
That's right. Punting is winning.
He's saying field position.
Turn it over.
Andy Staples on 3. College Beat writes for on 3 as well, people. Go read him. That's
he's a scribe. Andy Staples on Three is the show. Remember, YouTube channel, go subscribe. Live reactions after the big games and wherever you get your podcasts at Andy_Staples. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Dustin, say sorry.
Bye, Andy.
He better. When we come back, Thursday night, look at him. Thursday night, NFL, plenty of injuries to update.